for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, September the 2nd, 2005. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carla Boutaud of Jasper, Texas is the minister in this service.
Carla, he says to you, as you have taught and you have prophesied, leave the mess to God. And for I say to you, my daughter, I am a fixer-upper of messes, and I have a solution, and it shall come to pass. So fear not, walk with me, and you shall see it. Hear not the voice of the enemy who tries to bring you into condemnation. Know that I am with you. Hallelujah!
This is a continuation. I was told I can't call it part two. But and it's called Exercising Daily Faith. So if you want the whole thing, you can. There's a disc from the last camp or from 4th of July. But I didn't get to finish it. So I wanna finish this because it has blessed my life so much. And I like to give the things that has blessed me to the body, so that they can be blessed by it too. But let's start with prayer. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person that's sitting here. I know that they've been blessed already, and I look forward to the blessings that they will receive, that we all will receive in these next 3 or 4 days. I thank you for your mighty presence here, Lord. I thank you for your word, for the gift that operates here, Lord. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit that would come to block or interfere the people from hearing what you have to say to them this morning. I bind every working of witchcraft and satanic power that's been directed to this place in Jesus' name. I break its power right now. I take authority over all the power of the enemy, but in no way will he disrupt. I come against the deaf and dumb spirit that would keep people from hearing or speaking God's word. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you get the disc, it starts out talking about different ways that we can exercise our daily faith. I'm a real practical person. And I would go to meetings hoping to hear something that would change my life. And many times I did. And sometimes it was just a really good thing, but I didn't know what to do with it. You know, it's good to hear it, but what is that going to do for me today and tomorrow and for the rest of my life? And so God's put it on my heart to begin to share these things with y'all so that you can begin to exercise these things, because we have so much more power than we're using. And that's what this is all about. I ended, I think, the first time on taking dominion and how God had shown me how to take dominion. And then I finished that one, and then the next thing I was going into was talking about sickness, because there's a lot of sickness in the body of Christ. And he has made a provision for the body of Christ. Now, we know that the word tells us not to be conformed to the world, but the church is conforming to the world very much. The church should be having an effect on the world, but it seems that the world is having more of an effect on the church. So in James 5:14, this is, you know, common scripture just about, but so common that we overlook it to the point that we don't do it. In James 5:14, it says, "Is any among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." That's pretty powerful. There are some sins that we exercise daily that cause us to be sick in our bodies. And it says that if we go to the elders of the church, he'll do several things. First of all, we'll be raised up. And if we have committed sins, they will be forgiven us. That's powerful. So if we don't know what it is that's caused this sickness in our body, and we present ourselves to the elders of the church, then a supernatural thing takes place. And if that was caused by a sin in our life, even if we're not aware of what it is, it is forgiven us. And when we, in the home, this is one thing that the Lord began to make really clear to me that I didn't appreciate so much when I was a younger woman. And that is the place that my husband plays. In Ephesians 5:23, I'm going to show you what he showed me about this that I just thought was really amazing. Ephesians 5:23. You know, God has given an order to the church and to the home. And we have not fully realized the order in the home, or our homes wouldn't be in such a mess. Ephesians 5:14. I'm sorry. Oh, I skipped up there. Okay, 5:23. Ephesians 5:23. Okay, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. You see, that's a little S, Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay, see, we know that Christ is the head of the body, right? And it says in the home, the husband is the head of the wife and the Savior of the body. So as Christ is the Savior of the church body, the husband is the little s, Savior of the little body, which is the home. God loves families. And if we have families that are in order, our churches are going to be in order. And we'll have healthy bodies of Christ. And so what I wanted to bring out about this is in the church realm, if we have sickness in our body, you know, I don't care what church you go to or what their doctrine is. The Word says, call on the elders of the church. Now, I sat next to this man on a trip one time, and he had been raised in the church, but he wasn't going to church, and he didn't raise his family in the church. And when he reached about 48, 50 years old, he got this lump in his mouth, in the roof of his mouth. Didn't hurt, didn't bother him, so he didn't think too much of it. You know, I'm sure that it was scary, because anytime we get a lump, you know, that usually is the beginning of cancer. So he went to the doctor, and it was malignant. So he checked out all of his options, chemo, radiation. He didn't want to do any of that because he learned that chemo not only kills the cancer, but it also does a lot of damage to the rest of your body, even the healthy parts. And so he decided to get his Bible down and find out what it said to do if you were sick. Then he called on the elders of the church. Not the church that he was raised in, because they didn't practice this. He called on a church in town that he knew did practice this. And he just called them up and said, listen, I've got a sickness in my body, and I was wondering if the elders of your church would anoint me and pray for me. So he went. His wife went. She sat down. They came in the door on the very back seat because she really didn't, you know, he's grasping at straws is what she thought. And he went up to the front to the altar. The elders were there. They introduced themselves. And then he knelt down and they anointed him and prayed for him. Nothing happened. So they prayed for him again. Nothing happened. So they prayed for him again. Nothing happened. So one of the elders said, listen, we have done what the Word says. The rest is up to God. And the man was like, oh, because nothing happened. And so he thanked them, said goodbye, and turned around. And while he was walking back down the aisle, the the lump left. And he was healed. Now, the reason I say this is because, you know, we limit God. We would have told that guy, well, you know, if you haven't gone to church, if you don't, you know, have the faith, and if you haven't been obedient, what is God going to do for you? Isn't it wonderful that God is not like us? He doesn't care what brings you to Him. He really doesn't. All He wants is for you to come. And so I want to encourage us as believers to do what the Word says. Because if we're obedient to His Word, it will open doors for miracles to happen. And likewise in the church, in the home, the husband is the priest. So if your children get sick, dads, I know it's nervous. It makes you nervous when you've not done these things before. Because when I started doing these things, I can remember just really actually shaking to step out and do something that the Word said that I've never done before. It would be, you'd be nervous if you were asked to walk a tightrope when you've never walked a tightrope before. It's kind of scary to do something you've never done before. But when you do it, just amazing things will begin to happen. So I encourage the men here, even if your grandfathers and your grandchild gets sick. You know, many times we're so busy in our youth that we're doing our own things. We're not too much concerned about the really important things. Then the grandparents, as we get older, we learn things. And we know what we should have been doing and didn't. So we're real anxious for our children to have this knowledge and do it. But as grandparents, we can introduce these things to our grown children who have children. And when their children get sick, go over and lay hands on the child. Anoint him and pray for him to be healed. Most of the time, we do what the world does. When we get sick, we call the doctor or we go to the doctor. And if we need money, we go to the bank. When God is our provision. You know, I appreciated what he said last night. There are so many people running around desperately trying to receive what they really need from God. But this life is like a wagon wheel. I was explaining this to my son recently because he really wants to be married, and he is seeking a wife. I mean, poor every girl he dates is going to be the wife, you know. And it doesn't last very long, and he's frustrated. And I said, do you trust God with your life? Well, yeah. Then forget about it. God's got a wife for you, and he will bring her at the appointed time. Either she's not ready, or you're not ready, or you and she is not ready. But at the appointed time, God will bring the wife. See, it's like a wagon wheel. And in the center of that wheel is the hub. And that hub represents God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and the thing that holds all the rest of it together. And the spokes on each spoke is your job, your wife, your home, your health, your finances, all these other things are on these spokes out here. But if you don't take care of the hub, can I tell you the wheel won't roll without the hub? That's the most important thing. If the easiest lesson that could be taught right here is, and it's one sentence long, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, we're running around trying to get the spokes, and there's not even a hub. We've got to pay attention to that hub, that relationship with God. And then you can go into these outer areas. You know, I come up here and talk a lot about the things that God is teaching me, how to warfare and how to pray and how to have faith and all of these things. But it started with the hub. And when that hub is intact, all the rest of it, you don't have to sweat. But we're sweating the other stuff and not taking care of the hub. So that would be the first thing that I would encourage you to do, is nurture your relationship with God. He is the one who makes all the rest of it work. It's all about him. But in our homes, he has given us provision. And if we would but do it, just do it. Glenn was saying last night, just do it. I don't remember what it was that he was telling us. I just remember, just do it. And I feel like that's the way God is with us. He tells us not to be hearers only, but doers. We hear a lot. If hearing could make us fat, we would all be huge. There wouldn't be enough room in this room for all of us to be in here because we hear a lot, but we need to do what we hear. We can look at the scripture and see that Jesus, when he walked into Peter's house and his mother-in-law was sick, he rebuked the fever and it left her. It's real simple. We just don't do it. He spoke to the fig tree and it died. He commanded the spirit of infirmity to leave the woman that was bent over, and it left, and then he laid hands on her, and she was healed. In Psalm 91, it says that he will deliver us from the noisome pestilence, and that means, that word noisome pestilence means any ill-smelling, infectious, contagious disease or virus. That's what Clement was talking about last night, that's going on in New Orleans. That is great protection. Any ill-smelling, infectious, contagious disease or virus covers a lot. His word covers everything. He covers everything. Jesus has destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, if we get sick, the lump, a pain, whatever it is, instantly we fear. It is that fear that drives us to the doctor, and then he gives us a diagnosis when the Word tells us that we are to cast down anything that is against the Word of God. He says we are healed. And I tell you, sometimes we will be put to the test. We will have to judge what we really believe by the way we act. And there may come a time in all of our lives when we have to stand on what we believe. We stand until it doesn't happen, and then we take the alternative route. And I don't condemn anybody who does that. I understand it. But as the people of God, we should begin to trust God, find it in His Word, stand on His Word until you see it happen. The violent, in the scripture that says the violent take it by force, that word force means going after and not stopping until you get it. That's what we need to be forceful for our help, because He has given us help. And in And not only for the children, but husbands, if you have an ailment, go to your wife. And wives, go to your husband. That's a very humbling thing to do, is to go and say, honey, I need you to pray for me. Please lay hands on me. I'm this or that, whatever your ailment is, and let him lay hands on you and pray for you. There is power there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, the wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. Likewise, the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. There is a power there, not only in the sexual relationship, but in the physical relationship. And even if you're having a spiritual problem, you can ask him to pray, lay hands on you, and speak to that thing. And there's power there. You'll just be amazed. We started doing that, and it's amazing. Whenever, like for stings and stuff, people get bitten by spiders or snakes or bees. I mean, people have a tremendous fear over insects. I mean, a bee will come around and everybody's attention is on that bee because they're so afraid they're going to get stung. And, you know, well, you don't understand. I have an allergy to those things. Well, yeah, it's bad. If you have an allergy, they can kill you if you're stung by something you're allergic to. But there again, the dominion thing, you know, if I see anything harmful, I take dominion over it. And so we can speak to that thing. I mean, I've opened my car door and just said, get out in the name of Jesus. Stand there a few minutes and out it goes. And if you do get stung, I know one day I got bit by a spider, and I didn't know what kind of spider it was. I had seen a great big ugly spider in my garden, but as soon as that sting happened, I realized that something stung me, and I just immediately said, I speak a neutralization right now to the venom in that sting, a neutralization, and I reverse any damage that was done to nerves or, you know, just speak it, speak it. That's the power that God has given us, that Jesus Christ has attained for us, but we don't realize it because nobody's ever told us. But I mean, it will take care of your fears and your panics when things like that happen. We live way out in the woods. There would be no time for us, if we got bitten by a snake, to get to a doctor or anything. Learn this, because it really works. There was a lady that had a brown recluse spider bite that came in our office one day, and I just spoke a neutralization to the venom and commanded those cells that were damaged to be reversed. I spoke resurrection life into them. I commanded the cells that had died. There was a hole in her arm the size of a pencil eraser. And she said, yeah, but what about that hole? And I said, well, listen, God created this whole universe out of nothing. That hole is not a problem for God. I speak to the hole and say, be filled in Jesus' name. And she came back the next day and her arm was totally healed. We have no idea the power that we have been given through Jesus Christ. And so, see, that's a very practical thing. It's practical. But, hey, He's practical. He is concerned about everything in your life, and He has given us power to address everything in our lives. So no matter what church you go to, I encourage you, next time you get sick, walk down the aisle and ask for the elders to anoint you and pray for you. And you just, you know, that man was healed. The next thing I want to talk about is blessing your food. This has become something that I don't take lightly. I was raised in a home. My dad always blessed our food. My grandfather always blessed his food. But, you know, when I was at school, I didn't bless my food. And when we'd go to a restaurant, I don't remember the food being blessed. But listen, we're living in a day where you better bless your food. There is something supernatural that takes place when you bless your food. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. There's a whole teaching in those first 9 or 10 scriptures, but I'm just going to talk about the food today. In verse 3 it says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods, it's meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving by them who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. See, we hear all these things that are happening in the world today. I know not long ago there was a big scare over eating green onions because somebody had died with botulism? There was something that because they had not washed those green onions very good, they got sick and almost died. Maybe they did die. I don't know. But then there was a big thing and they posted signs all over the grocery store, wash your food good before you eat it, because there are bacteria and viruses that can come through mishandled food, and you don't know who's picking those green onions, so you need to be really careful. The mad cow disease, you know, we freak out every time we hear about mad cow. We want everybody stops eating hamburgers or whatever because there might be bacteria in the meat. Remember when the Tylenol was poisoned? Someone poisoned the Tylenol pills and everybody was fearful of that, and then they changed how they closed up the medicine bottles and all that. And I know after the 9/11 thing, they would talk about different ways that terrorists could kill large amounts of people, like poisoning the milk supply or the water supply or whatever. So we need to bless our food. Why? Jesus always blessed it. You look in the Word, in Matthew 14:19, He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. See, he offered thanks. He acknowledged the one who gave it to him. He offered thanks for it. He asked for it to be blessed, and then he broke it and gave it out. Now, there's a whole lot more in that story I don't understand. And that is how he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed all those people with it. That tells me that there is a law of multiplication that Jesus operated in right here on this earth, in the spirit realm, in the realm that he walked in, the kingdom of heaven realm that he brought to us. I'm asking how to do that. If he did it, I mean, it says, you shall do the works that I do. I want to know how he multiplied. I believe that. I want to know how to operate in that. In Matthew 26:26, at the Last Supper, it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it. In Luke 24:30, the 2 disciples on the way to Emmaus blessed and broke the bread. That's how they recognized him on the beach. He blessed the food and they're like, Jesus. So we really need to bless our food. Something supernatural happens. What's the difference in one person sitting down and eating food that hasn't been blessed and someone sitting down and blessing their food? Something supernatural happens whenever you bring God into anything. It is sanctified. You know what that means? It's made holy just by acknowledging God, asking God to bless it. It's made holy. That doesn't seem like a very big thing, does it? But obedience is supernatural. It'll cause something supernatural to happen. It's a simple act with miraculous results. See, it says in 1 Timothy 4:3-4 that in the end time, we were talking about the seducing spirits. And there are seducing spirits out there. They are seducing us with all kinds of things that people of God wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. But it's seeping into the church, taking things from the world of darkness and making it okay. And we're just following right along, being pulled right into all kinds of evil without even thinking about it. Seducing spirits. One of those things is, it says forbidding to marry. That doesn't mean that we won't let someone get married. It means they will just neglect to marry. And we're living in those days. That's a seducing spirit. And it's worked its way into the church. Abstaining from meats. I mean, the doctors will tell you, don't eat red meat. Don't eat red meat. It's bad for you. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. All kinds of things are going to come in. And the people of God are just sapping it up like crazy. They will believe what the scientists say and what the medical profession says. They're believing what the yoga people say. They're believing all this stuff, the herbalists. I mean, we are just sapping up everything the world is sapping up when we ought to be sapping up the Word of God. For every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. So when you thank God for your food and you bless it, it's made holy. So we need to put away our food fears. Fear about everything. Another practical thing that I want to talk about is going into the enemy's camp. I want y'all to know that God showed me the enemy's camp. I'm going to tell y'all where it is. It you know the windows of heaven that it talks about, that when you tithe, that he will open the windows of heaven. And we hear, test me and see if I will not pour out more than you can receive. And the devourer will be rebuked for your sake. Well, I know that there's a lot of people in the church that not are just looking for handouts, but that truly are living to the best of their ability. And I mean faithfully. And still, they question. You said test, and I tested, you know. We had a lot of things come into our life not long ago. And I was asking God that. Lord, you said that the devourer will be rebuked for our sakes, but everything is being devoured. What is it? What are we doing wrong? Which I've learned is exactly what Satan wants you to do. You get so distracted that you forget about the do and the right, and you're trying to figure out what you're doing wrong. And so in my prayers, I was talking about that window of heaven. And I saw it, the window of heaven. And right over here was Satan's camp. It looked like a junkyard. You know, you pass a junkyard, it's got all those wrecked up vehicles in it with a fence around it. Like, who wants that stuff? And the old junkyard dog. It was a junkyard. Only it wasn't junk. It was our blessing. And Satan had posted demons there that as fast as it was being poured out to me, they were grabbing it and putting it in that junkyard. The enemy's camp. Because I've been asking God about it because I love that song. I went to the enemy's camp and I took that. And I'm like, how do we do that? Where's the enemy's camp? How do I get there, you know? And he showed it to me. And it is right there. The blocking spirits, the devouring spirits are right there taking our blessings, and they are laughing all the way to the junkyard. Because nobody's told us about it. The enemy and what he's doing and how he does it and what we can do about it. So what I started coming against the enemy, when I saw that, I mean, what does it say? I have been given power over all the power of the enemy. So I, in my prayer time, would send out the warring angels to strip Satan of everything that he had stolen from Mike and me. We've had a lot stolen from us. And even as Christians, we kind of, well, bless God, you know, and we, you know, it's okay. I'm going to be okay anyway. The devil is a liar. Well, yeah, he's a liar and a thief and everything else. But if he's getting to you, that's not a good thing. We're supposed to have our foot on him. So this is a practical thing that God has shown me. And I started doing it. Well, let me tell you the things that happened. I guess I brought that piece of paper up here. First of all, and I've said this in another teaching. Here it is. The first thing that happened, and what I realized immediately by this, is I was getting things back that I didn't even know was stolen from us. So one time in our office, this was like in July or August, this lady gave us a hot check. And, you know, I understand hard times. We didn't know how to find her. I just forgave her for it. Lord, I forgive her for this. I stuck it in my bank statement and went on. Well, I started praying this prayer in October. And she came in December and said, I need to make a hot check good. Or what she said was, I got a check back on y'all. And I thought, oh, no. I thought we'd given her a hot check. But she had to remind me. I had forgotten her. So I said, oh, I was shocked. Because who does that? I thought I'd never see her again. Here she comes in after all these months and she wants to give me the money for the check. So I dug it out of my bank statement and gave it to her and took the money, thanked her very much. And then a day that I wasn't there, my husband said, you'll never guess who came in today. I said, who? Remember that lady that came in and paid us for the hot check? I said, yeah. Well, she came back in today and brought me a frame, an eyeglass frame. We have an eyeglass place. And I said, would she bought it somewhere else and wanted glasses? He said, that's what I thought. He said, I was confused. I said, well, did you want me to make glasses out of these or what? Do you have a prescription? She said, no, you don't understand. I'm returning this to you. I stole it. And that really shocked me. Mike was shocked. He said, well, you know, I haven't missed this frame. I probably never would have missed this frame. What made you bring it back? And she said, y'all were just so kind to me, I couldn't keep it. Well, he came home and told me that, and I started remembering that prayer. It's based on the scripture, James chapter 5, verse 4. I love James. I learned a lot in the book of James. It was the first book I read when I got saved. See, I wasn't in a denomination for someone to say, you need to read the book of John, and then you need to read the book. I said, Lord, where do I start? And he sent me to James, and then I found out why. So the tongue is in there, and all the patience is in there, and all kinds of good stuff in James. But this one in 5 verse 4. Okay, now in the scriptures he's talking to rich men. Starting in verse 1, "Come now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are rusted, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them who have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth," or the Lord of hosts. So you know what he's getting? He's reprimanding the rich. There have been people working for you, and you have held back what you said you were going to give to them by fraud. And they've been crying out to me, God said. And their cries have entered into my ears. And when I heard this scripture, it was like, whoa. There has been a lot held back from us by fraud. So many things. I mean, I don't even have time to tell y'all all the things that have happened to us since God planted us in the Jasper area. I've realized Satan really doesn't want us there. We moved there debt-free, totally debt-free. Built a house, you know, a couple of years later opened our own business. But, I mean, even before we opened our business, things began. I mean, it was a full-fledged attack from the enemy. And he will do whatever he can to stop you. And that I was almost destroyed by that until God told me what was going on. He's trying to shut you up. He's trying to make you stop. He's distracting you from what I called you to do. Okay, so that was the end of that. I'll have y'all know. That was the end of that. I'm just going to keep on doing what God called me to do, and I don't care what goes on. I'm not moved by what I see anymore. I used to be moved by everything I saw. So this scripture said it perfectly. But those things that were held back from us by fraud are crying. So you see, in the junkyard, the money, the wages that were held back from Mike, actually wages. He was hired at a particular amount, and they didn't pay it to him. And he was not a confronter, so he wouldn't go to him. So we got in a bad hole. I mean, he knows now that that was a mistake. But anyway, God will restore what, you know, when the thief is discovered, he's got to repay what? There you go. So I added up everything. Well, listen, I'm a literal thinker. I multiplied it out. And that's the amount I call on. I call on it. It's there. It's been crying out for me. And I discovered the thief, so therefore, times 7. And I that's the amount I ask for. I'm calling it in to the house of Butod. Well, I've gotten more specific now, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Now I say Mike Butod. But anyway, here was this woman bringing in first the hot check, then the frame that she stole from us that we didn't even know she stole from us. We had a wreck. Well, I had an accident with somebody. It was their fault, and they lied to their insurance company, so I just had to drive a wrecked car. And I, you know, no sweat off my back, Lord. It's just transportation. I don't care what it looks like as long as it gets me where I want to go. But I saw my very nice car that got wrecked, and I called it in. And I received that car out there that my father-in-law gave me as payment. I mean, he just gave me a car, a beautiful car. So I'm telling y'all this because if it works for me, it'll work for you. And I want you to think about all the things that you know that Satan has stolen from me. My righteous kids, you know, that went berserk. I call back my obedient, righteous children. I send out the warring angels every day and strip Satan of everything he has stolen, and I call it into the house of Utah. And then I name it off. I've got my list. And it's coming. It's being returned. So I want y'all to know where the enemy's camp is. And the next time you sing that song, go to it and use the authority that you've been given. He's been exposed. Never again will I say, well, bless God, devil is a liar. No, he's a loser. I'm the winner. We need to know we're winners. I want y'all to know we're winners. And go for your stuff. I mean, it's not about stuff. It's about, but if someone steals it, it's about stuff. I don't like him taking my stuff. Okay, the next thing that happened, let's see. Okay, another thing that I began to see when I saw that, okay, Lord, if there's blocking spirits there, then there must be blocking spirits about other things that are not happening that I know are supposed to be happening. One thing is, I have been walking with the Lord for 28 years, and He has taught me very much, and I've been set aside, hidden almost in the woods back there, just soaking up everything that God was teaching me. Well, there comes a time when you know, first of all, you know your desire is to teach, okay? Remember the desires of your heart? He who, what, someone say the scripture for me. He who seeks the Lord with all of his heart? No. What's the scripture that he will give you the desires of your heart? Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean I delight myself in the Lord, and so, I want that. No, the very desires that you have, my desire to teach was not my desire. He gave it to me. He gave me that desire. So I desire to teach, but it's not happening. So in the same way that I went after my stuff, I came against the blocking spirit. Lord, if I'm not ready, okay, but if it's blocking spirits, I command them to move in Jesus' name and doors to open and opportunities to present themselves in Jesus' name. And I said the exact word someone else said up here. I will go where you tell me to go. I will say what you tell me to say, and I will do what you tell me to do. That was in November. January, New Year's Day, Brother Jim called, asked me to teach at his church. I mean, already. I'm like, who was on New Year's Day? God does. And then shortly after that, he introduced me to Glenn. And then shortly after that, I was invited to teach. You see, it's blocking spirits. And these are just practical, simple principles. But if we don't know them, we can't use them. Okay, so that happened. Then we had a competition. There were three optical places in Jasper. There were only two, one and ours. And then Walmart opened, and they had an optical also. And, you know, Jasper's not that big of an area. So now we know that we're up against it. Well, the other place that my husband had worked for and another wage thing happened, it's almost like looking back, I can see God pushing Mike into his own business because he always wanted his own business. I didn't like the way it happened, but Mike opened his own business. Now there's three, and they treated him pretty ugly, this other place, but this is the principle of love, okay, and just obedience, because where we could have looked at them as enemies, but because I know the laws of God, I would pass their place every day and say, Lord, bless them. There is enough money in this area for all of us. Just bless them. Bless them. I mean, it was probably a couple of years, 3 years, but we heard that they were closing down and leaving town. And I was shocked. But it's the principles of God. He was going to prosper Mike and not do bad to this other fella, but for whatever reason, he left town. So we can know that the enemy has been stealing from the Christian, and we are constantly running to God for help in those areas. But, you know, we are sitting around praying and asking God to do things that he has given us the authority to do. He did not say, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you will ask me to move the mountain. And too many times we go to God and we ask him to move the mountain. He said, you shall say. So we need to begin to use our mouths and begin to say those things that we should be saying. And that brings me to the next thing I want to talk about, and the practical principles about your mouth. You need to watch your mouth. Because the Word says, I'll just read a few scriptures, Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Isn't that what usually you watch all these macho guys, these teenagers, these gangs, whatever? It starts with the mouth. Someone mouths off, and then they end up in a big fight. So we need to watch our mouth. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips the snare of his soul. Proverbs 18:19, and a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So you can be filled with bitterness, or you can be filled with goodness. Depends on how you want to use your lips. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. See, when I was young, I learned this way before I understood it. I was young, probably about 10 years old when this happened, but my cousin was at our house. We were having a family dinner, and my mother was making something in a double boiler, and it was Pyrex, so it was clear glass. And my cousin was standing there and saying, how are you boiling that water in that glass pot? And my mother said, well, it's a special kind of pot. It's made to be used on top of the stove, and you can boil water in it. Well, it seems like that would break that pot. It just seems like that pot would break. I don't understand how that's happening, because if you boil water in glass, it would break, and that thing shattered. I thought, whoa. But she did. She just kept saying, seems like that ought to break. Break, 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 break. And it broke. When I was a young girl, I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana at my aunt's house, and I wanted to take piano lessons so bad. And I had a dream that when I got home, there was a piano. And I was telling him about the dream, and I said, God, wouldn't it be so neat if I went home and there was a piano? And I got home, and guess what? There was a piano in my bedroom. I couldn't believe it. I had an older brother that would torment me a lot, and one time I said to him, oh, go break your neck. And he was playing sandlot football in a neighbor's yard a day or two after that and fractured his neck. See, I begin to take note of these things. The last one really was that. I think that's the one where I realized, you better watch your mouth. My grandmother took care of us, and she really fussed at me for saying, go break your neck, to my brother. See what you did? And, of course, we say, that didn't have anything to do with it. But see, in James, it says, chapter 3, verse 6, listen to this. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Do you know how powerful that is? To set on fire the course of nature. That word course means a circuit of physical effects. In the Webster's it says, an ordered process or succession, the path over which something moves. That's powerful. So when you speak something, it is like setting on fire, I say, a fuse that's connected to a stick of dynamite. And the dynamite is exactly what you said, because it sets on fire. It starts it when you speak. It's very powerful. But nature means to cause to be, a generation of what will be, to generate. And Webster says, a power or set of forces thought of as controlling the universe, nature. The thing that controls the universe. So when we speak, we are setting on fire the course of nature. So I learned that to begin to speak what I wanted, the desired end that I wanted to see happen is what I would speak. It changed my prayer life. Because instead of asking for something, or I would ask for exactly what I wanted, I would say, Lord, this is the way I would like this to happen. and then I would say it. And I can't tell you how many times it happens just like I say it. Now, I want to give you a biblical instance where that happened in Genesis 24. Just, you know, so you'll know that this is okay. If I find it in the Word, I'm going to do it. Genesis 24, 12 through 21. I'm not going to read all those scriptures. This is about Abraham sending his servant to find a wife for Isaac. Now, he is sending this man to a place that he doesn't even know very well. He doesn't know the people that live there. All he knows is Abraham has said, go and find a wife for Isaac back at my people's place. So this, in verse 12, this is what the servant says. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. See, it wasn't his God. It was the God of his master Abraham. I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and shall kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water, and let it come to pass. See, he is asking just how he wants it to happen. That the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, he even puts the words in her mouth. And let her say this, drink, and I will give thy camels drink. Also let her be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, I love this, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebecca came out, who was born to, I'm not going to read all those. Anyway, Rebecca came out. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water from my pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also. And so they had finished drinking. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. He was blown away. So see, we can do this. We can let our request be made known to God and speak the desired end. When people would say anything like, oh, I twisted my knuckle this morning. Well, you'll probably get arthritis in it. I will not get arthritis in it. In the name of Jesus. It's almost funny. I forget, you know, that not everybody knows these principles. And it's all like, well, okay. But, you know, don't receive a curse, a word spoken curse. You better cast it down. You better cast it down. And not like, just say it. Hey, the devil is bold. And we need to get bold. Say what you want. I won't go into all the rest of these. But I will say that, like, about speaking your desired end. You know what that really is? When you speak something, the desired end, with inspiration, it's prophesying. That's what it really is. I mean, there's different kinds of prophesying. But that really is prophesying. It's calling those things that are not as though they are. Abraham did that. God changed his name to say the father of many nations. He's calling him. He wasn't the father of many nations. He didn't even have a kid. See? We can do these things. When someone would tell me about Kyle, who had he spent time in prison, so he's going to have a record. Don't you know that's going to fight every way? People say this to me anyway, and his mama. That's not very encouraging. Well, you know, that record's going to follow him all the days of his life. He'll never get a job. And who's going to want, you know, and I would just say, I would be quick to say, no. God is able to erase that record. He can erase that record, and Kyle will have the job of his choice, and he will, and he will, and he will, and he will. And do you know he came out of prison, and he did, and he did, and he did, and he did? And, you know, people are like, but really, this is what a believer should operate in, instead of, I don't guess I'll ever have anything. We're just living payday to payday. And, you know, we talk ourselves right into depression. We need to speak our desired end. Well, okay. How does it say that we overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And you know, a lot of people think that that word testimony means telling them about the day you got saved. Do you know what testimony is? Every word that comes out of your mouth. Every word that comes out of your mouth is a testimony to what you believe. So we need to watch what we say. Testimony that, in fact, I looked it up. It's evidence given, a report or common talk. It's every word that you say is a testimony to what you believe. So speak your desired end. There's power in your tongue. Such a little thing. The next thing is employ your angels. I need to get that tape. I don't want to forget to get that tape that Norman Parrish did. Didn't he do a thing on angels here not long ago? Was it Norman Parrish? Somebody did a thing on angels that I really wanted to hear, but I didn't get to come to that camp. But, you know, the angels, in Hebrews 1:14, I want to make one point about this scripture, Hebrews 1:14, because there's a little bitty word in this scripture, but it changes the meaning of the scripture. He's talking about angels. And in verse 14, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's what it says. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Not to them. The angels bring messages, yes, but that's not their only purpose. They are sent here for us to use. But the word minister means a public servant to perform, let's see, I've written so little here, to perform religious or charitable functions. It's really just a worker. The angels are workers. And spirits means ones not human, superhuman, or divine, a messenger. And they are sent here to minister for us. I mean, we have a host of angels around us that it reminded me of a cartoon. You see these guys, and they were bad guys, and so there was this little group of devilish-looking people sitting around picking their teeth and stuff, and they're just standing around doing nothing. But they're the driving force, you know. But we have this host of angels that are at our, not disposal, but for us to employ. And I'll tell you one of the ways that I've done it, just to give you an idea of how to do this. You know, we have it, but, well, how do you do that? That was always the question I would leave, you know. I said, Lord, if I ever teach, let me tell them how to do it. You know, we need to have faith. Okay, how do I do that? For instance, when Kyle was in prison, that was a scary place. It was. They sent him to, I never could figure this out, he was just a small-time, petty, stupid thief. But they had him in this maximum security prison. I mean, there was a guy that got stabbed the day they went to prison. Stabbed to death from his own group that was transported there. And Kyle was going to comfort me by telling me that, but we're separated from them except mealtimes and showers. Is that supposed to comfort me? And, you know, of course, then there were those well-wishers who would say, do you know what they do to young, pretty boys in prison? I'm like, I'm his mama. You know, how about some encouragement here, not nightmare material? But I would say, yes, I do know what they do in prison to young, pretty boys. But do you know what? They will not touch Kyle because I have encamped the mighty angels of God around him. They are standing shoulder to shoulder that no evil penetrates. And when I prayed for him, that's the way I prayed, and I could see them. They were there, and he was safe. See, we can employ those angels. Mike left the house one day, and, you know, I thought, you know, I didn't even get the number of where he was going. He was going to cut down a tree for somebody and haul the wood off, and I needed to talk to him really badly. And he had left, you know, 15, 20 minutes before, and I said, Lord, send an angel and tell Mike to call me quickly. And I need 10 minutes later to find him. And it was Mike. He never called. You know, I'll be back, probably this afternoon. Okay, bye, honey. You know, angels. We can employ them for protection. When I leave my house, Lord, I ask you to stand those angels shoulder to shoulder around the perimeter of our property that no evil penetrates, that no one harm our house, our animals, our possessions, our land. And there's a confidence there. You don't have to worry about it anymore. It's like the storms, you know. You don't have to be afraid of the storms anymore. Walk out on the front porch and do what Jesus did. I speak to the wind. Be still in Jesus' name. I bind tornadoes. I bind damaging lightning, damaging hail, flooding in the name of Jesus. There's power there. I used to hunker down and, oh, protect us, Lord. I was so scared of that weather. I used to be terrified of weather. Not anymore. There are warring angels. Every day, I send out the mighty warring angels to scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has on my family, our business, our church, the people of God. I never had a stopping point. You know, not just us, our extended family. Lord, all your saints, all over the world. But really, we need to do that. You can pray over your children before they go to school. Encamp the angels to go with them and protect them. This is not a safe world anymore. You never know what's going to happen in these places. And a lot of people live in constant fear over these things. But we don't have to live in fear because we've not been given the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and then the sound mind comes. Without the love and the power, you're not going to have a sound mind. So we want it all. We want the love, we want the power, and we want the sound mind. Well, that concludes the everyday practical faith, or what do we call it back there? Exercising daily faith. Exercising daily faith. And as time goes on, I find another way of exercising a practical faith issue, I'll bring it. Because these things have changed my life. And I desire, for, it's like giving you tools. You know, if you were just going to go into a wood shop, I would want to give you tools that you could work with the wood. But I was a Christian for a very long time, and I didn't know how to live the life of a Christian. I didn't even know what I had. But I'm finding it out. And I want to give those same tools to you so that you can walk in a greater success to live the life successfully. Let's pray. It's already noon. Can y'all believe that? It's like we just had breakfast. Thank you. Y'all want me to bless the food? Well, Father, we thank you for your word. It's a very simple message, but Lord, your message is simple. But we thank you for the awesome power behind the simple message and the awesome person that you are and how much you love us and desire for us to walk successfully. And now, Lord, I ask you to bless the food that we were about to eat. We thank you for it. We acknowledge you as the ultimate giver of it. We ask you to bless all those that have prepared it and worked hard in the kitchen, Lord. We thank you for their humble service. And we ask you to bless the food, and we will receive it with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.